This is the first section of the Friday Prayers Sermon by the leader of the Muslim Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, delivered in Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, on October 4th,
2024. أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين المنتجبين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. اللهم إني أحمدك وأستعينك وأستغفرك وأتوكل عليك. السلام على أئمة المسلمين وحماة المستضعفين وهداة المؤمنين. قال الله تعالى: والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم.
I invite and advise all the dear brothers and sisters and myself to observe taqwallah. In our speech, in our actions, we must be very careful to not go beyond the limits set by Allah. This is the meaning of taqwa. In this verse that I recited, the important issue of the mu'mineen's connection with the others has been raised, where in Quranic terms, this link and connection between mu'mineen is called wilaya. The wilaya of mu'mineen upon one another. This matter is mentioned in several verses of the Quran. In this verse, the result of this wilaya and solidarity is introduced as the mercy of Allah. They are those whom Allah will have mercy upon. That is, if you Muslims have a bond, communication, cooperation, and empathy with each other, Allah's mercy will encompass you. Then Allah says, "Surely Allah is esteemed and the wise." Allah ends the honorable verse by mentioning divine honor and divine wisdom. Maybe because Allah's mercy in this case is proportional to Allah's glory and Allah's wisdom. Because Allah's mercy includes all kinds of virtues revealed by Allah to His servants. All the blessings, all the favors, and all the events of life are a divine mercy. But in this honorable verse, this mercy is proportional to dignity and wisdom. Allah's glory means the domination of Allah's power upon all the world of existence. Divine wisdom means the strength and constancy of all the laws of creation. Perhaps in this verse, Allah wanted to make us pay attention to the notion that if Muslims unite and concord with each other, divine honor and divine wisdom will support them. They can make use of Allah's infinite power. They can make use of the requirements of Allah's traditions and Allah's laws. So what does this wilaya mean? It means the connection and solidarity of Muslims with each other. This is the Quranic policy for Muslims. The policy of the Quran for Muslims is that Muslim nations and Muslim groups have solidarity with each other. It is as if it promises that if you Muslim nations have this solidarity, this results in that the glory of Allah will support you. It means that you will overcome all obstacles. You will be victorious over all enemies. Allah's wisdom is your support. It means that all the laws of creation will be used for your progress. This is the logic of the Quran and the politics of the Quran. The opposite point of this policy is the politics of the enemies of Islam, meaning the arrogant powers and the transgressors of this world. Their policy is divide and conquer. The basis of their work is division. They have implemented this policy of creating divisions in Islamic countries with all kinds of tricks up until today. And they still haven't given up, and the cause of the hearts of the Islamic nations to have animosity towards each other. But today, the Muslim nations have woken up. Today is the day that the Islamic Ummah can overcome this trick of the enemies of Islam and the Muslimin. I humbly say that the enemy of the Iranian nation is the same enemy that is the enemy of the Palestinian nation. That is the enemy of the Lebanese nation. That is the enemy of the Iraqi nation. That is the enemy of the Egyptian nation. That is the enemy of the Syrian nation. And that is the enemy of the Yemeni nation. The enemy is the same. The methods of the enemy are different in different countries. In some places, their enmity is via psychological warfare. In other places, via economic pressure. And in some places, via two-ton bombs. And in some places, via weapons. And in other places, via a smile. This is the policy of our enemies that they're pursuing. But the command center is in one place. The enemy receives orders also from one place. They receive orders to attack Muslim populations and Muslim nations also from one place. If this policy is successful in one country, meaning it leads to the domination over that country, when they get that country out of their way, they go on to another country. Muslim nations must not allow this. Any nation that wants to avoid being afflicted by the enemy's paralyzing siege, it must open its eyes and be awake right from the beginning. When they see that the enemy is moving on to another nation, they must consider themselves to be part and parcel with that oppressed person and that oppressed nation. Help them, work with them, so that the enemy does not succeed there. If the enemy succeeds there, he will come to the next point. We Muslims have neglected this truth for many years. We have also seen its results. Today, we must no longer be negligent. We must be alert. We must tighten the belt of defense, the belt of independence, the belt of honor from Afghanistan to Yemen, from Iran to Gaza to Lebanon to all the Islamic countries and Islamic nations. This is the first subject that I wanted to share today. Today, most of my conversations is with the Lebanese and Palestinian brothers who are in difficulties, which I will tell them about in the next sermon. The second point is that the defensive rules of Islam have determined our duty. Both the defensive rules of Islam, our own constitution and international laws, the same laws that we didn't influence in the writing of those laws, but even in those same laws, this matter that I am presenting is among definite things, which is that every nation has the right to defend its land, its home, its country, its interests against the aggressor, and this is the meaning of these words. The meaning of these words is that the Palestinian nation has the right to stand up against an enemy who has taken over its land, occupied its house, destroyed its farms, ruined its life. The Palestinian nation has this right. This is a solid logic that today's global laws also confirm. So who does Palestine belong to? Who are the Palestinian people? Where did these occupiers come from? The Palestinian nation has the right to stand up against them. And no court, no center, no international organization has the right to object against the Palestinian nation, saying that, why are you standing up against these usurping Zionist regime? They have no right to object. And those who help the Palestinian nation are simply doing their duty. There is no international law that anyone can bring up to object against the Lebanese nation, to object against the Lebanese Hezbollah, saying, why have you supported the uprising in Gaza, the uprising of the Palestinian people? It is their duty to support the Palestinians, and they had to do it. This is both an Islamic ruling, a rational law, and an international and global logic. The Palestinians are defending their own land. Their defense is legitimate, and helping them is also legitimate. Therefore, all of these attacks and the Al-Aqsa storm that occurred last year around this same time was a correct, logical, and internationally legal move. And the right was with the Palestinians. The Lebanese people's fierce defense of the Palestinian people is subject to the same exact ruling. It is also legal, reasonable, logical, and legitimate, and no one has the right to criticize them, asking them, why have you entered the arena in their defense? The brilliant work of our armed forces in the previous two or three nights was a completely legal and legitimate action. What our armed forces did was the least punishment for the usurping Zionist regime in comparison to the astonishing crimes of that regime, the blood-sucking regime, the wolf-like regime, and the rabid dog of America in the region. Whatever duty the Islamic Republic has in this field, it will do with strength, firmness, and determination. We will neither procrastinate nor will we hurry in carrying out this duty. We won't delay. We won't cut corners, and we won't rush. That which is logical is reasonable, is right, and according to the military and political decision makers, will be done in its own time, just as it had been done in the past and will be done again in the future if necessary. In the second sermon, the issues of Lebanon will be addressed, and the audience of that sermon are our Arab brothers in the countries of that region. Therefore, I will deliver the sermon in Arabic.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal-Asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.